I'm Duncan MacLeod.
I'm Craig Wilson.
This is Talk Central, the weekly podcast brought to you by the editors of Tech Central, the home of South Africa's best technology journalism.
It's Friday, the 1st of February, and this is Talk Central, episode 77.
On this week's show, we'll talk about the week's three biggest stories.
We'll tell you all about our winner and loser for the week.
And we'll pick our Apple product of the week.
We'll get stuck in right after we've paid the bills.
Inbox open. Do you want to enlarge your... No? Do you want a bigger... Sis... Hot singles waiting for my... What? Gross, man.
Don't get ambushed. Call for backup. Get hosted archiving and mail protection from Vox Telecom. Protect and archive your mail for half the price of an on-site server. Hosted archiving and mail protection from Vox Telecom. Backup for your business. SMS 31965 and we'll call you right back. Standard rates apply.
Welcome to Talk Central. I'm Duncan MacLeod. How's it, Craig?
Yeah, good. Thanks. And you, Duncan?
Good, thanks. So there's one story that's really dominated everything this week, and that's BlackBerry.
It certainly dominated our week. Yeah, what a busy week it's been. So much talk about BlackBerry all over the place, from the new OS to the new handsets, or in particular, of course, just the one handset that we've seen so far.
The Z10.
That's right, and that's the Z10. We've been playing with one since Wednesday. So far, it's pretty impressive.
I've only played with your review unit for a couple of minutes, Craig, but from what I've seen, I actually really quite like it. The thing that really blew me away was how good the on-screen keyboard is.
Yeah, the on-screen keyboard. I mean, really, BlackBerry have said time and time again that they really wanted to focus on the input experience and how important it is. And I suppose this is fitting. I mean, if we think back, really, we have BlackBerry to blame for making email permanently available on our phones, having people in public staring at their handsets while wandering through malls. I mean, really, this all started with BlackBerry's sort of a decade or so ago.
Just over a decade, yeah.
It's kind of fitting, but yeah, the keyboard is phenomenal. There are a couple of things about it that that make it so good. The one is the sort of gestures, and this holds true for BlackBerry BlackBerry 10 generally. It's really, really gesture based. They've gone on the idea that, you know, people want to swipe around and this is the easy way to do it. If you're looking at the sort of text keyboard, you can just swipe down on it to toggle between the various symbol keyboards, you know, as opposed to having to find a specific button. And as you type, it tries really hard to predict the text you want to put in. And supposedly, I'm only just beginning to see the effects of this, having used the device for a few days. It will scan your emails and your other text on the device and sort of learn your actual style and your habits and apply it to whatever application you're in. So the idea is, if you're in BBM, for example, and you're sending a message to a friend, it'll try and prompt you with words that are in the sort of style you use when BBMing people. Whereas if you're in your work email address, it'll try and prompt words that fit that sort of language. Mm. So, you know, it'll be more formal in tone than it would be in casual conversation. And it's really, really, very good. It'll try and predict the word and put it above the next letter of that word in the keyboard. And if you just swipe up on the letter, it then completes the word, puts in a space, and is ready for the next word.
And I remember speaking to the guy who demoed this to me a couple of months ago. It was a pre-release version of the BlackBerry 10 software. And the message was, we've patented the hell out of it.
Oh, I'll bet. And, you know, it's a little bit of a learning curve. I'm having a bit of a time coming to terms with it because I'm coming from an iPhone, which, frankly, doesn't really help you out very much at all. You know, I type pretty much every letter on the iPhone. It does well in terms of autocorrect as you go, but it doesn't do suggestions and autocomplete in the same way that this does. And I can imagine that with a little bit of practice, you could get really, really very speedy. What's nice, too, is that it's different from anything we've seen. You know, it's not quite like the swipe keyboard or the autocomplete that you see on some Android devices. It really does feel unique, but it feels well thought out. And like, with a bit of practice, you could get really, really good at it. I'm thoroughly impressed, yeah.
Yeah, it's actually quite... I mean, they have delayed this operating system a number of times, but it looks thoroughly impressive, and I think they probably made the right move in not releasing a half-baked product.
And I think they learned this, you know, one of the people we spoke to this week...
Of course, with the playbook.
...said that they learned this with the playbook, and I think he's quite right. They couldn't release anything half-baked, and... from my limited experience so far, they haven't.
You know? Yeah, and if they had, that would have been toast for BlackBerry.
Indeed. Now, it takes a little getting used to, and this is true of the OS as a whole, I think. Mm. It's very, very different.
Yes.
But after it becomes you know, once you've played with it for a while, it actually feels intuitive, which seems weird if it's not necessarily intuitive at first. As soon as you've gotten to grips with the approach that BlackBerry has taken, it actually makes a great deal of sense. And I found myself, you know, after only a couple of days with the device, whipping around it and finding things with ease. It's very customizable too.
Yeah. So what are your sort of main, what's your main take out of the event? I mean, it was let's step back a little bit. Johannesburg was one of eight cities.
That's right,
yeah. Around the world chosen for a major launch of this product, which says something. It really sends a message from BlackBerry that they see the South African and the African market as a key area for them, and they spared no expense. It was a heck of an event, and they laid on. I was pleased to see they laid on great facilities for the media.
Indeed, some of the best media facilities we've seen. Ethernet cables, clearly a fiber connection, power under every desk.
It was fantastic.
And they really wanted us to talk about it. Live video feeds to the other cities.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the main event in Canada. It was just a great event, and they had they brought out some senior execs. They had the Canadian ambassador there, and all the celebrities. You know, BlackBerry is very fond of the local celebrities. I think they like to get these devices out in the hopes that they'll popularize them too.
Yes.
I thought the event was a great success, but I thought it was a little bit lacking on what could have been some very helpful information. I thought it was a little bit sad that there was no definitive information from operators, other than all of the South African operators will carry the new device. But it would have been nice to have.
Let's clarify that they'll carry the 3G version of the device.
That's right.
The 4G LTE version is, according to BlackBerry's local MD Alexander Zagiri, it looks like it's only going to come to certain operators.
Right. But at least we know that they will be represented in one way or another.
Sure.
However, what I would have really liked was pricing.
Yes.
Just some indication what sort of contracts we're looking at, what sort of standalone pricing we're looking at. I mean, we can guess. The standalone pricing has got to be in the range of a Samsung S3, a Lumia 920, or an iPhone 5. It's going to be in that sort
that's
of
what it looks like,
6
yeah.
to 8
dual
range.
Dual core 1.5 gigahertz processor, 4.2-inch capacitive touch, multi-touch screen.
2 gig of RAM, 16 gig of storage.
Yeah. So it's a high-end phone.
Absolutely, but I think that's the interesting thing. I think this is actually the key point. I think it's fascinating that what we've got here is BlackBerry unabashedly saying we are going after the top end. We're going to play where everybody else is playing. We're not going to, you know, at least not at the outset, we're not looking to our traditionally strong base of the sort of low and middle end, particularly in this market. I mean, really here, the BlackBerry in South Africa is the curve, and that's a sort of a 2,000 rand device, two and a half. You know, they're saying we're going to go after the iPhone 5. We're going to go after the S3. That's what we're chasing. I think it's bold, but I think it's also necessary.
Yeah, they have to. I mean, they can't. Someone made the point this week, I think it might even have been you, Craig, that they can't ignore that market. In fact, I think it was either Arthur Goldstuck or Aaron Segev that you spoke to this week, saying that if they don't go off to the top end of the market, it'll be RIM basically admitting defeat.
Indeed, exactly. And this is what BlackBerry users have wanted, or at least the power users. You know, they've always said, well, we like some of the functionality, we love BBM, we love this and that, but there are limitations, and we can't quite match up to other platforms. And BlackBerry's trying to get rid of all of those doubts and say, well, actually, here's the phone for you.
My take on it was that, you know, this company is in a very difficult position. We all know that. Thousands and millions of words have been written on the subject. But I think that what we saw on Wednesday was a company that pulled out all the stops and did the best it could. Whether the best it could do is going to be good enough,
indeed,
we'll know 6 to 12 months from now.
Indeed, and it's a difficult market. I mean, this is a fierce space to compete in, and you know, particularly Apple and Android have an enormous head start in terms of winning hearts and minds and dollars, frankly.
Yes.
But so far, I'm thoroughly impressed. The question is also, can they get the operator sufficiently behind it? Because that's such a driver
with the markets. With the right tariffs. And that's where the other area I think that lacked clarity on Wednesday. There was a lot of, I wouldn't say confusion, but there was a lack of detail on how the BlackBerry Internet Service is going to work with the new BlackBerry 10 platform. And it still has a RIM, or they've now been renamed BlackBerry, hasn't expressed in any real detail yet how a BIS might or might not be applied on these new devices. It appears, from talking to local operators and from information we can glean, that BIS is pretty much not going to be in BlackBerry 10 at all, except perhaps to power the text portion, the BBM component. And of course, BBM is not bandwidth intensive at all, so I'm not sure what the real saving there will be. But I also think that perhaps the market for BBM is going to go away in the near future. The need for BBM is going to go. Sorry, not BBM. BIS is going to go away in the near future because broadband prices are coming down, and you can now get pretty cheap tariffs from some of the operators. And for an ordinary user, perhaps the 60 Rand a month they currently spend on their BIS service will buy them enough data.
Indeed. We're getting to the point where that'll buy you a couple of hundred meg of data on the right network.
Yeah.
And exactly, then the other thing is, I think we're getting to the point that what people expect from their experience is shifting.
Yes.
And as soon as people can get proper data rather than the chronically slow BIS data that you see on BB7.
BIS is terribly slow.
It's one of the things that's precluded us from ever really using the devices seriously. Frankly, yes. I can't afford to wait for a page to load.
I don't use a BlackBerry simply because BIS is too slow.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Particularly in our line of work, I'd rather pay for data and have the speed.
For sure.
I just can't afford not to.
For sure.
But the BIS will survive in BlackBerry 7. Obviously, they did make clear that they're not getting rid of BB7. There's still growth to be had for them in emerging markets. That flat-rated 60 Rand, slowest treacle, but unlimited internet proposition is still a compelling one
on
the right markets.
And BB7 is not going away. They're now BlackBerry.
Which is good. It's going to spare them all sorts of awkward jokes.
Yes, absolutely. I forgot what I was going to say.
Sorry, the BlackBerry 7 is not going anywhere. Indeed.
They've said they're going to continue to develop BlackBerry 7, so these devices should be around for a while yet, just like Symbian devices will be around.
Indeed, they've also claimed that they're going to keep development on them, but that's going to be trickier to see. It's going to be very difficult to convince people to develop for the older platform as opposed to the new sexy platform.
Well, it depends. It depends on the number of users.
That's true, actually. If you've got enough people buying the app, then it's worth your while.
For sure.
Anyway, what I'm also interested to see is how the app store grows. They made a lot of fanfare about what content there is, and content's so crucial. We also saw them launching, saying there'll be music content available. Looks like it's going to be download content available from BlackBerry. They've said it's going to be DRM free. No movies or TV shows here yet, but they are getting those in the US, the UK.
Music is coming here.
It's only the music. Mm. The movies and TV shows are US and UK and Canada.
Yes.
But this will come, and this just shows that also BlackBerry's paying attention, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's about the ecosystem, it's about the apps, it's about the content. It's no longer just about the device. You can build the best hardware, but if there's nothing to go on it, people aren't going to buy.
So, what was the figure at launch? 70,000 apps.
They say 70,000, but I think this is misleading. Then they say 1,000 sort of premium apps, and then they gave us a list of...
BlackBerry 10 native apps. Really.
Native apps, right, because a lot of them are ported. They've had a lot of these big port-a-thons where they've actually encouraged developers with incentives to move their apps either from BB7 or from Android to the new platform, but they're not native apps. They haven't been built for it from the ground up. They've just been transposed.
Yes.
I've noticed one of the big omissions for me at the moment is Instagram. That I'm sure will follow, or they must be working on it.
Not necessarily. I mean, it took a long time for Instagram to come to Android. So
indeed, and it still isn't out for Windows Phone.
No.
But, those sorts of things, there are some gaps, but there are a lot of the big ones. You're looking at your Dropbox and this sort of thing. As you mentioned, one of the problems is support for the Google Suite. BlackBerry has shown that it's not shy to support what are potentially competitive products. There's Dropbox at launch. There's WhatsApp at launch, which is a direct BBM competitor in many senses. But they've shown that they realize that it's important to have the apps people want, regardless of whether they infringe on your own sort of applications. But they're going to need to win over the all of the big names very, very quickly.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, Craig, we need to take a break. We'll be back right after these messages.
Ah, what's this? To whom it may come? Hey, guys! Guys, I just won $25 million! Click to claim prize.
Don't get ambushed. Call for backup. Get hosted archiving and mail protection from Vox Telecom. Protect and archive your mail for half the price of an on-site server. Hosted archiving and mail protection from Vox Telecom. Backup for your business. SMS 31965 and we'll call you right back. Standard rates apply.
Welcome back to Talk Central. We're still talking BlackBerry. I guess it's just such big news this week. Craig, I think let's wrap up the BlackBerry news. You've been playing with the device for 3 days. What's your take out on it? Has BlackBerry done it with the Z10?
So I think on the one hand, it's certainly worth the wait. I think BlackBerry, you know, I was very skeptical when they announced all of the delays, and I thought, oh, you're just letting the competitors get more of a lead. But I think they made the right decision by waiting. It feels rounded. It feels complete. It feels like a serious operating system that can compete with, really, it's the other two, but let's say the other three mobile operating systems. Whether it's going to be a success, we're going to have to wait and see if the market embraces it. You know, we've been forced to, and I'm impressed, but it's going to be difficult. It's one thing convincing existing BlackBerry users to move to it. Mm. I don't think that's going to be difficult. The hard time is going to be winning people who've defected, winning them back to the platform.
Okay, good. Well, we'll definitely be keeping an eye on the story, and it certainly was one of the most interesting stories of 2012, and looks like it's going to be a big story again throughout this year.
Indeed.
BlackBerry, no longer RIM.
And then moving on to some local news now. 22/7, the local personal financial management service, launched in January last year, amid all sorts of feather ruffling. Got APSA in quite a twist at the time.
Yes.
In terms of privacy concerns. They've now been bought by Old Mutual.
They've been acquired by Old Mutual. The value of the deal hasn't been disclosed. I did speak to an executive from Old Mutual this morning, along with Christo Darvill, the CEO of 22/7. And they're also not disclosing how many customers, the subscribers, 22/7 has managed to get on board so far.
No, which is prompting all sorts of rumors, of course, in the market about whether Old Mutual is a much-needed cash injection or whether it's the sort of strategic partnership that I think 22/7 wants to paint it as.
Sure. But well done to them. I mean, they've really won hopes. They've put in a lot of risk here, and hope the shareholders.
And there's no denying that Christo Darvill's a sort of dynamic individual, and he's been involved in so many interesting projects over the years. Mm. It's also quite nice to see one of them get this sort of vote of confidence from a really big player.
I did ask both men this morning about the subscriber numbers, and I said that then when they said that we can't disclose them, I said that I asked Christo whether he felt whether 22/7 had reached the targets for subscribers in terms of its original business plan. Old Mutual stepped in and suggested that, or said that, for a startup that's done virtually no marketing, their subscriber numbers are very impressive, but for Old Mutual, they're not nearly high enough.
Read
into that what you will.
Indeed.
Anyway, we need to move along rapidly because we've spent most of the show talking about BlackBerry, and we are running out of time. The other big news this week, of course, it was an extension from last week, was the price wars that have erupted between Telkom and MWeb. Telkom last week unexpectedly cut the price of its uncapped
ADSL for consumer and business.
And MWeb then immediately said they would retaliate, which they did this week with a new set of products rather than price cuts.
Mm.
And they're now positioning their current products as premium products and these new products as shaped and, what was the word they used, throttled.
Shaped and throttled. So that's what everyone I spoke to last week, all of the ISPs I spoke to, when I asked were they going to respond to Telkom, the overarching theme in response was, we're going to look at these packages very closely and we're going to see just how Telkom's managing to make these cuts, and then we will respond. The suggestion being that whether it's throttled or shaped, or you know, that these accounts, there are various sort of caveats as to how these accounts work, and that they needed to look at that in great detail before responding. These aren't just straight uncapped packages, at least not the ones MWeb has responded with. And that's an important note. It's not, these aren't unshaped, unthrottled, and
the question,
fair use policies and all sorts of little fine print that you have to look at.
Mm. The question is whether these new Telkom uncapped products are in any way throttled.
Mm, indeed. Indeed.
Because if they're not, then Telkom has a better value proposition than MWeb now.
Absolutely, and isn't that a strange sentence to utter?
Yeah, indeed.
Either way,
Not used to Telkom leading the market on price.
No. as we said too, of course, in some of our comments this week and in my column, this isn't really Telkom necessarily taking cuts where it's going to hurt the most. What we need are cheaper line rental, and arguably the split of voice and fixed line. Telkom's forever saying it wants to increase fixed line penetration, but at 300 Rand before you've even bought any data. When you look at the 3G products in the market, if you've got coverage, and you're, particularly if you're a single person or a small family, it's very difficult to justify getting a fixed line service.
No, absolutely. And it's, of course, that's the area where Telkom doesn't cut, because that's the area where it's one of the last vestiges of its monopoly.
Indeed.
But it also doesn't make sense not to cut, because if they want to get fixed line penetration up, then they need to cut those prices.
Absolutely.
But they're in a challenging position. It's widely, I mean, even the top executives of the company admit that they're overstaffed. They need to cut their costs as well. And that's difficult when the government is your biggest shareholder.
Indeed, indeed. But this fits rather well, because unusually and perhaps surprisingly, our winner of the week, as it happens, as a result of these price cuts, is Telkom Internet.
Yes, and it's still tempting to pick MWeb as the loser of the week, because unexpectedly, they didn't simply cut their pricing to match Telkom's, but introduced a new product suite and therefore introduced more complexity for consumers.
Indeed. Yeah. But officially, at least, MWeb isn't our loser of the week, are they?
No, our loser this week is LTEC, the LTEC group, which has finally got out of East Africa. But it's been an expensive journey for the company. When they originally bought, their main acquisition up there was a company called Kenya Data Networks. For the first year or two, it really performed very well and did great things for them. But then suddenly, the Kenyan market was liberalized, open to competition, and margins fell through the floor. And LTEC found itself in a situation where it couldn't actually compete and couldn't maintain profitability, and started bleeding LTEC, and they got into a lot of trouble. Anyway, they finally exited that business by effectively handing it over to a company called Liquid Telecom, and paying Liquid Telecom for a small minority stake of around 8%. Liquid Telecom is an interesting company. We've written about them quite a bit in the past. If you take a look at the website and do a search for Liquid Telecom, but they operate fiber networks across South Africa, Zimbabwe, I think up into Zambia, if I'm not mistaken, and Botswana,
And fingers in lots of pies,
into lots of parts of Africa, and they're a really interesting fast growing fiber optic telecommunications company. And I think LTEC and the CEO Craig Venter are probably very pleased and glad to be out of that.
Of course, they've tried to sell it as we've made this great move, but it's not too hard to read between the lines and see that this is thank heavens we're rid of it.
Yes, they've been trying to fix it for about a year and a half, and now they've decided basically to
call it quits. Yeah, and throw in the towel. Mm. So, Duncan, onto our picks this week. What have you got?
I am been getting frustrated with... I'm currently using a Samsung Galaxy S3 as my primary phone. I've been getting really frustrated with the dialer, especially since Jelly Bean. It's really slow and takes a long time just to switch between different options. And so I got to thinking, surely I can change the dialer on my phone. It's something I haven't really thought of before, because you kind of think of a phone dialer on a phone as being something integral. I think maybe it goes back to the fixed line days, where you've actually got the dialer buried into the physical physical product. And so you kind of think, well, okay, the dialer is something that you can't change. But and then I had a brainwave and realized that you can. And I discovered that millions and millions of other people have done the same thing. And there are, in fact, dozens of dialer apps available in the Google Play Store for Android.
Mm.
So I grabbed the most downloaded one, which had been downloaded millions of times. And it's called Dialer One, and I really like it. It's fast, it's snappy, it gets the job done, and it's a major improvement on the default dialer on the Samsung Galaxy S3. It's Dialer One. If you're looking for it, spell it with one L, because it's an American product. it's worth checking out if you're an Android user. That's my pick this week. Craig, what have you got?
So my pick this week is, it was a little bit of a surprise to me. It's the Flickr app. Now, I've been playing specifically with the one for iOS, but there is now an application for Android, one for Windows 7, a mobile site for other users, and the iOS one that I mentioned. And frankly, it's just fantastic. It's one of the best photo sharing apps I've seen. I actually used to be a big Flickr app, Flickr user on the website years ago, even when they made you sign in with a Yahoo account and it got annoying after it was purchased. I used Flickr for years and years, and for a long time it was the best photo sharing site. You know, even before Facebook, it was the place you went if you were an image nut. And then I stopped using it, and I hadn't used it in years. And a couple of photographer friends pointed me back at it and said, you should really have a look at the app. And they're quite right. It's just a combination of brilliant interface that's done properly. The ability to zoom in on the images. You know, this isn't Instagram. These aren't just little squares. This is for the serious imaging professional or the serious hobbyist. And that's what Flickr's always been about. But it's also about the community. You know, it's about liking photos, leaving comments. I mean, really, it was the precursor to all of the social aspects of Instagram. And they've just done a brilliant, brilliant job with the app. If you've got existing contacts on there, it's just so easy to keep up to date with other people's photographs. So easy to upload your own. You know, they've integrated it really well with mobile as well, so you can upload from Instagram or directly from your phone camera. And it's just a great lesson in user sort of interface design and user experience. And I really can't recommend it highly enough. Also, of course, it's free. And one of the other perks is if you download the app, Flickr, in an effort to try and encourage people to come back to the platform, are giving anyone who downloads the app a 3-month free pro account, which means unlimited image uploads and various other perks that you can read about on the site. But the app itself is free, and it will remain that way.
Good. Well, let's wrap it up there. A few minutes over, but pretty much in time.
That's all right. So much to talk about this week. I'm sure we'll be forgiven.
For sure. As always, if you've got any comments, you can send us an email at info@techcentral.co.za. You can leave a comment after the post. We'd love to hear from you. From Craig Wilson and myself, Duncan McLeod, until next Friday, take care and cheers.